It's interesting if you think about it from a public health perspective. I wonder how many deaths we might be looking at in the oropharynx compared to, say, cervix.
I wonder. I don't know the exact number, but the fact that these patients seem to be more responsive to treatment and they're younger means that we're going to be looking at some major risks from side effects of therapy. So if these patients are going to get intensive chemotherapy and radiation, they're going to be at high risk for dry mouth, dental problems, speech and swallowing difficulties, aspiration pneumonia, particularly given the location, the base of tongue, the ability to avoid radiating parts of the mouth that are involved in swallowing is quite significant. And we have to remember that the risk of second cancers and other sequelae from radiation increases over time. And if these people are in their 40s and 50s, they have 30 or 40 years in which to develop something else. So we have to think anteriorly as to what this might constitute and really watch these patients.
That's interesting. Maybe you can kind of complete the overall picture in terms of what we're seeing in terms of this disease and also stage of presentation.
Yeah, most of these patients present with advanced stage and big nodal disease because they don't have internal oral symptoms. And you can basically put a lot of cancer into the neck without being aware that it's there. So people can have relatively bulky necks, or even thin people can develop transient growth and shrinkage of these. And they may have no ear pain or difficulty swallowing because they're smaller primary tumors. So most of these present with a fairly advanced disease. I think that, as I said, the variety present with a fairly advanced stage. The other thing that's important is that the demographics are different. You know, these are not people who are heavy smokers and drinkers in general. And in fact, there's a reverse association, which is probably not causative, in that the vast majority of them are non-smokers and non-drinkers. And we have some new data coming out, which will be published soon, that suggests, in fact, that there's no interaction between drinking and smoking in the development of the cancer. So there's a thought that perhaps if you smoke, you might activate the virus, create a carcinogenic background for it to grow in, but that doesn't seem to be the case.